live from somewhere deep in the bowels of the Fantasy Football Fest in Atlantic City. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Podcast at AsylumFantasyFootball.com.
Yes, welcome aboard. We're in Atlantic City for the Fantasy Football Fan Fest. So, you know, you can make sure you check us out at Asylum Football on Twitter.
Absolutely. We'll be giving you updates from the Fan Fest all weekend there, so check it out. If you didn't have a chance to make it out, we'll let you know what's going on. Hit us up with any email. It's draft time, Rick. It's time for us to answer those pressing draft and keeper questions. Hit us up at asylumfootball@gmail.com for those questions.
Yes, indeed. Send them on. And we will answer them. It is draft time, and there's a lot of drafts going hot and heavy right now. As a matter of fact, later on this evening, we're going to the Fan Fest to witness a draft, and we're going to kind of draw it down and maybe talk about it later on.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening to us live now, you can go over to, if you have SiriusXM, go over to SiriusXM. It'll be broadcast live on there tonight from 6 to 9 o'clock. We will not be drafting. We'll be in attendance. Check it out there. If not, we will recap it for you in the next show. So speaking of recaps, not a lot of big news right now. A couple of games last night. Jake Locker looking terrible. Another poor completion percentage anyhow. Didn't turn the ball over again. But I think the biggest news is a guy we've been really high on, Rick LeGarrette Blount, goes down with a groin injury last night.
Yeah, and although I'm not sure how serious it is, that's bad news for people that are high on Blount or Blount owners, but it's good news for the Martin owner. So, you know, we just had to monitor him. I don't think it's real serious. And another thing, I think, you know, another guy we've been high on, at least I have, is Chris Johnson. 4.6 yards a carry last night, 2 touchdowns. He only had the 10 carries, but, you know, that's a good workload for him, and he's looking pretty good.
Looked like the Chris Johnson of old last night, no question about it. Good burst, got into space, and really turned it on from there. So good stuff there from Chris Johnson. So here's what we're going to do. Not a lot of news out of FanFest. It's a good time, lots of things to check out, lots of great things. If you're in the area and you can still get down here, come out and check out the draft tonight or head out tomorrow. They'll be there from 10 to 3 tomorrow, I believe. Great panels. We got to see Tony Siragusa today. We ran into him. Brian Dawkins in attendance. Who am I missing?
We had a nice little panel that we'll be covering on running backs, and it was very informative, Dave Richard being one of them, and then a couple other running backs that former players. And, you know, we might even have some excerpts from that. And it was really interesting. So we're not going to delve into that because that's almost a whole other show.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of editing to do. We've got some audio from some guys for some real NFL players giving you some fantasy football advice. We have that audio for you. So what we're going to do today in this show, we're going to break down for you. It's not complete yet. We've just completed the seventh round, or we're one pick short of the seventh round. We've had the good fortune to be asked by our boy Corey Parsons, if you heard our show on Tuesday from SiriusXM, Roto Experts, I believe is his show in the morning on SiriusXM. We are in what they are calling the
Executive Experts League.
Executive Experts League. So we want to break it down. Some heavy hitters in this league. Jake Siley and Bob Lung are Roto Experts. Matt Camp and Joe Dolan, a fantasy guru. Ali Fontana, as you've heard on this show. Jim Day, the fantasy Taz, who will be participating in the SiriusXM draft tonight. Adam Ronis of Roto Experts. Tony Cincotta, Fantasy Pros 911. He was actually in the Sirius booth when we were walking back over here to do the show. Mike Rathburn of the Daily Joust, and of course our buddy Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show. So some heavy hitters. What we're going to do, I think this draft has gone kind of interesting, and that's why we want to break it down for you, get a look from 11 serious experts and us, how this draft went and how yours may shake out this weekend or next weekend.
Yeah, and for the sake of discussion, we're not going to hit on every one. I mean, you know, let's face it, you got the, as Corey Parson liked to say, the holy trinity of running backs went first, second, and third, you know, Rice, Foster, McCoy. But we're going to go through some of these picks, and it, as Rick said, it's getting interesting.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's thin at running back. There's no question about that. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting looking where some of these tight ends are going, how the wide receiver, you know, and wide receivers, it's deep, but tier-wise, it's extreme.
Well, it seems, Rick, here's what I'm finding as we go through this draft, and we'll go through, we'll talk about some other some other experts' drafts we've been in recently where we've gone off board, taking receivers early, taking quarterbacks early. We actually did in this draft. What I'm finding in there seems to be three tiers. There's one tier, and it's called the Calvin Johnson tier, and that's it. And then there's about seven or eight guys in the Larry Fitzgerald type of who else? Wes Welker, Roddy White, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, that tier. And then it just drops off the map. There's 700 guys named Steve, and just pick one and hope for the best. It's tough. And I think that's why we wanted to bring this up. We're in the seventh round of a 12-team PPR draft. We are just finished up the seventh round, about to start the eighth, and the pickings are slim already.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to get into some of these interesting picks, and we're not here to say whether they're bad, good, anything like that. We're going to give you something to think about. I mean, it's sure giving us stuff to think about, and I'm sure everyone else in this draft is thinking about it. And, you know, so we'll just kind of start from there. I mean, no surprise, Rice, Foster, McCoy, 1, 2, and 3. That was, and just to let you know, that was
Jim Siley of Roto Experts.
Right.
Is that what you're
yeah.
looking for? You panic.
Yeah.
Let's do it this way, Rick. Let's take it team by team rather than going across.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
Together. So let's start with Jake Siley of the Roto Experts. Started with Ray Rice. Somewhat interesting. Not what you see a lot. Actually, I'm seeing that more than you saw in the early summer mocks, that Rice has moved up to first. I like the idea in the running back symposium we sat in today. The consensus seemed to be Ray Rice was the way you wanted to go due to durability. Guy catches 60, caught 75 balls last year, is going to average his 60 catches. Certainly can't argue with the pick. And more and more, unfortunately, we haven't had that option in too many drafts. I think we have one coming up where we're the number one pick. But I think a good, safe pick there at one.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, the consensus, as you said, in that debate was Rice, Foster. Really, they really thought McCoy was behind them.
Yeah,
and
I'm surprised by that. As you know, if you listen to Podcast 50 with our boy Dennis Farrell, the Fantasy Sideline Show, who actually happens to be in this draft, drafting right behind us, I have McCoy at one when I rank my running backs, and I still have him there. But, again, we're splitting hairs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to argue between the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, we started discussing that. As a matter of fact, Rick had McCoy, I had Foster, and Dennis had Rice.
Yeah,
so there you have it. But anyway,
three people, three opinions, but nobody's going to lose in that scenario.
So coming back, you know, down through the first round and then coming up at the end of the second round, he had the next pick was Greg Jennings.
Great, great value there. You know, I think that's what I like the most about that. So I'll tell you what, let's go through the list, go through his team, and then we'll go down, find where the value is, any reaches, anything we're surprised by. So goes Ray Rice in the first, Jennings in the second, able to get Fred Jackson in the third. There's an interesting pick. You talk about high risk, high reward. Do you get Fred Jackson 2 years ago? Do you get Fred Jackson the first part of this year? Do you get a nicked up Fred Jackson? Do you get a Fred Jackson with C.J. Spiller getting more carries than last year? I think at the very first pick of the third round, good value there, I think. I'm certainly not arguing with the pick, but a guy, I'm a little skittish. I passed over Fred Jackson in some drafts recently.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad pick. I think,
oh, no,
I think Jackson's
not.
Still the guy, and if he stays healthy with the offense and the weapons they have there, I think Jackson's due for a good year, and if he can just finish one, you know, with the team they have now, I think that's a real good pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And if he's the Fred Jackson of last year, and when you're taking him there, that's what you're hoping for. Having Ray Rice, Greg Jennings, and Fred Jackson as your first three, you're looking pretty good. Next pick, last pick of the fourth round, Antonio Brown. This is a guy I'm really high on. Rumors spinning around our hometown, around Pittsburgh, that Mike Wallace ready to come back maybe later on, but he will be in by week one. If not already, they have their strength and conditioning coach down in Florida working with him. So there'll be a learning curve, but I think just his speed going down the sideline, even if he doesn't fully understand the offense, open things wide open for Antonio Brown so that you can see what you saw at the end of last season.
Yeah, and it certainly rolls the first coverage back over Wallace's way, which only helps Antonio Brown owners. Hey, just touching on Greg Jennings, the only concern you have to just monitor that concussion that he has.
Yeah, yeah, and you worry about that this early in the year.
Yeah, I hate seeing that because I really like Jennings in that offense. Of course, everybody does. But, you know, you get a concussion like that in preseason, when do you bring him back? You know, is it going to linger? I mean, that's because he's probably obviously not going to play hardly anything, if at all, or probably the rest of the preseason.
No, I have to imagine they shut him down at this point.
So now owners are going to say, or, you know, future owners, potential owners, is this going to linger? You know, is he worth, you know, the first or second pick or the second round, the last pick? I don't know.
I think that's a trick, you know, if you have concerns second round. But, okay, you can argue last pick of the second round. If somebody told you, let's say pre-concussion, if somebody told you you could get Greg Jennings in the third round, you would say, yeah, I'm all over that. So you worry about the concussion. Unfortunately, I think everybody in the NFL now is a concussion risk on every play, so it's hard to base a lot on that. So after Antonio Brown in round five, here's a pick I love, a guy getting in round five. I know everybody's afraid and backing off of him, and I understand, but to get Frank Gore in the fifth round I think is an absolute steal.
Yeah, a lot of people are writing Gore off, that he's on his way out and, you know, his role is diminishing in San Francisco. I'm not so sure that he's ready to go, and just hitting on the panel that we were listening to today, they're not really convinced that he's done either. So I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, we have some audio. Someone we spoke with regarding Frank Gore who had a completely different opinion. We won't spill the beans there. We're going to, like I said, we're going to cut this audio and bring that to you in an extra show. Sixth round goes after the first quarterback. Again, great value to be able to get a guy like Eli Manning. We have that entire tier of Eli Manning, Tony Romo, Ben Roethlisberger, these groups of guys, and here they start going in the sixth round. I think to get the value you've got 1-5 and to be able to catch Eli Manning in the sixth round, it's a strategy we didn't use, but I think one I would definitely recommend.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think Eli in the sixth round is great. I mean, there's a 4,500 to 5,000-yard passer, and you're going to get your 28 to 32 touchdowns probably. He's probably going to throw some picks for you.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
again, he's
going
to be
over
playing 16 games.
Yeah, he's not going to miss any time. Starting to look more and more the last 2 years, especially last year, like his brother, you know, as a true game manager and running the offense, and they're throwing the ball more. And, you know, the Giants have questions at running back. You worry about Ahmad Bradshaw's health. You worry about the rookie coming in. I think as you have Nick's back healthy, you have Victor Cruz. I think this is going to be a pass-first team, and I think Eli Manning can if he hasn't already, definitely have a breakout season this year. And then finish up in the first pick of the seventh round, Titus Young. Here's a guy I'm high on. I picked him up in a few leagues. Sort of flying under the radar to the average fantasy player, but look, this guy's playing opposite Calvin Johnson, and while Calvin Johnson can't be covered, teams are going to try to do it 2-3 guys. Titus Young could be running free with a wide open all day with a guy like Matt Stafford throwing to him. This guy could be setting up for an easy 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, they're obviously going to be passed for over 5,000 yards last year, and I don't see any slowdown. You know, I mean, look at preseason, what they're doing. And, yeah, Titus Young in the seventh round is good. So, recapping his team here, the running backs right now through seven rounds, he has Ray Rice, Fred Jackson, Frank Gore.
That's nasty, is what that is.
Greg Jennings, Antonio Brown, and Titus Young as receivers, and you got Eli Manning. I mean, that's
solid
squad. That's a solid team.
I think this proves the point, too. First of all, he drafted excellently. I think this proves the point. This year, I usually like to pick towards the end. I like that 12 pick. I think this year you want to be in one of those first three spots.
Boy, I know I do. There's no doubt about that.
And I haven't been yet. So let's go on. The second player here, Matt Camp, fantasy guru, went with Arian Foster as number one. Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time discussing that. You know what Arian Foster can do. His second pick already, I love this. You know, we were in a 12-team league. We took this guy on the turn. We were the 12th pick, took him with the first pick of the second round. Larry Fitzgerald falls all the way to the 11th pick of the second round. That's some incredible value right there.
No, I sure think so. And I don't care, you know, John Skelton, if he's a quarterback, look, Fitzgerald had, 1,400 yards last year with Skelton and Cobb. So there you have it. I mean, that's just awesome pick right there. And moving on, he comes right back and gets Julio Jones.
Wow, how did Julio Jones fall to the third? And you can tell this draft started a week ago. In the last week, since that preseason game, we actually heard on Sirius XM Fantasy driving in this morning, driving into Atlantic City, that Julio Jones is starting to creep into the first round of drafts, and here to get him second pick of the third round. What a steal. So Foster Fitzgerald Jones, that's terrifying already.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The fourth pick, I'm not as thrilled with. I'm just not a Mike Vick guy, although the upside potential is phenomenal. If this guy stays healthy with his legs and the weapons that they have, you know, he could turn out to be a good value in the fourth round. Myself, I'm not taking Mike Vick in the fourth, but I'm, you know, that's still a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not going to own Mike Vick either, and we hope to see Mr. Vick tomorrow morning here in Atlantic City. But I'll make sure
I tell him that I don't want him in the fourth.
Yeah,
round.
I'll let him know. He's not going to be on my fantasy team. He's a good guy, you know. Nice to meet you, but yeah, you're not going to have any part of the asylum fantasy squad. Here's the issue. I guess it becomes a risk tolerance type of deal. This guy could go off. 2 years ago, he won you your fantasy league. Not you specifically, the audience I'm talking to. I'm looking at Rick as I'm doing it. But he's a guy come out of nowhere, went undrafted or was drafted really late as a laugh. Oh, Mike Vick came back. I'm going to be the guy who took him. And then you make some terrible dog joke. Yeah, you all know how that went in the draft. Just completely blew up and won you your league. It won it in at least two of our leagues, Rick. He won people games.
Yes, indeed.
Our championship. So he could be that guy. He could be the guy last year. He takes too many hits. He throws too many interceptions.
He's small.
You just don't know. If he blows up, congratulations, you're the champion. I don't have that type of risk tolerance for a guy like Mike Vick.
No, and I'm the same way. I'm much more cautious. But, you know, this is how championships won. Sometimes you have to take that risk, you know, and gamble on a guy that has that, you know, really – risk factor. However, the upside potential is phenomenal. So, and then we move on to the fifth. He kind of went with a hookup. He went with Jeremy Maclin, who I agree with.
A guy I'm high on.
I really like him much better than DeSean Jackson. Look, I don't want anybody that bags a season in the middle of it. And I don't care if he got his contract and he's happy. I don't want any part of this guy. That early, especially, you know, when the value is just not there, because whatever may happen with Philadelphia, say maybe Vic does get hurt, this, that, and the other, even, you know, God forbid LeSean McCoy gets hurt, their record's not too good, you know, he'll have to sit here and see him sitting there pout.
Yeah, he'll just shut it down. Yeah, here's a guy, he wasn't motivated when he wanted his money. Usually when these guys want their money, they play like a house on fire, because they want to get that contract. He bagged it because he wasn't happy with his contract as it was. They give him the big contract. Mainly that's where your concern comes in. The guy gets the big contract, and he becomes fat and happy. And so he was fat and happy, basically, or fat and angry before he got the contract. Now he has the money. I have real fears of Jackson, but DeSean Jackson, more information to come. Sixth round, my number one tight end. If you listen,
oh, number
to that,
one
too,
now,
my number one tight end, Vernon Davis. Or did I have him at two?
You
I have him
at
one
at two,
now.
But now he's moving
Vernon
up to one.
Vernon Davis is no, he doesn't go over Graham. So my number two tight end. I'm sorry, Vernon Davis. I love that pick. Last pick of the sixth round. That's where I start looking tight end. We'll get more into that later as we get. And then did we ask this question? This is a question we talked to Corey Parsons, Sirius XM, just Tuesday night. If you have Arian Foster, how high do you have to take Ben Tate? I think this is good. This is a perfect place if you can pull this off. Second pick of the seventh round, able to grab Ben Tate.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, as we discuss with Corey, see, you know, this is a league full of veterans, you know, been playing for years, you know, and no disrespect. I mean, you know, but they got it going on. They know what's going on. Some of your average leagues, Ben Tate's not going to last to the seventh round.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in the seventh and eighth round. And that's the question, you know, do you want Ben Tate in the fifth? Because somebody's going to grab him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but here, seventh round, I think has beautiful value.
Yeah, and I think he had to be sweating. Obviously, second pick of the fifth round, way too early to take him. He takes Jeremy Maclin. It was a long way coming back to that 11th pick in the sixth round where he grabs Vernon Davis, and a risk not taking him there. I'm sure his draft was pretty uncomfortable from his second pick of the fifth round on. So I think great value, that's where you'd want to target a guy like that. But I agree with you, Rick. I'd have some concerns that he wouldn't fall that far. especially let's look at it. We look at things more reality, try not to play this expert role. If you play with a bunch of your buddies, you draft Ben Tate, somebody's going to try and, or you draft Arian Foster, somebody's going to try to grab Tate in a round or two earlier just to screw with you.
Oh, you betcha. And that happens on a lot of these teams. You know, I can see Peyton Hillis doing the same thing and so on and so forth. But that's a good squad. We'll go through seven rounds there. You got Arian Foster and Ben Tate as running backs. A little bit thin there, but you know, with Jeremy Maclin, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald as your wide receivers.
Solid there. You just find a serviceable number two running back somewhere in the next few rounds. I expect to see him go on a running back run two or three picks in a row heading into the eighth round.
Definitely. Definitely top five tight end with Vernon Davis and, of course, Mike Vick, you know, with the upside that we've already talked about. So that's a high he's got some risk potential, but he's certainly solid at wide receiver, and Foster's a solid pick. I mean, he's looking good going into the eighth and beyond.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on. Our buddy Ali Fontana.
We got to go Bob Lund. Roto
Experts. I'm sorry. I skipped Bob, so we don't want to slight Bob.
No way. Bob Not when Lund. You start with LeSean McCoy.
In the enviable position, I believe, of being in that three spot where you don't have to make the decision between the Trinity. It's been made for you. Snaps up LeSean McCoy, who was conspicuous in his absence today, Rick. But that's another story.
Yeah.
I don't want to gripe. We're already deep in the bowels of the fantasy football fest here. We don't want to be pushed any further out.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we don't want to complain too much, but we did really want to see McCoy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know why he wasn't there.
Yeah, why he doesn't want to come hang out with us.
Right.
Like, what's he have better to do? But then here's another one. Here's interesting. In another draft we did on the turn, we went Larry Fitzgerald, Roddy White. This guy goes the 10th pick of the second round. Surprising he falls that far.
No, I'm very shocked, and I think it's a great pick. I mean, he actually had the choice between White and Fitzgerald. Sure can't knock either one. So, I mean, I think they're right there comparable with each other. You know, White's going to get probably more catches. Fitzgerald is generally probably going to get more yards. But, you know, all in all, they're right there.
Yeah, both guys very durable. I loved your stat you had on Twitter a couple weeks ago with Roddy White. Basically, has he missed a game in his career? If he has, it's been 3 or 4 years.
I know.
Years.
I went
what
back to
stat?
2007,
yeah,
and he hasn't missed a game since 2007.
You're going to average 7-8 catches a game. So, great pick there in the second one. Third round goes for a running back, Ahmad Bradshaw. Here's one of the great question marks. I think he's at the very end of that second tier of running backs. And I think this is why, you know, before we go too far, you know, you see we're talking about this great wide receiver depth that's falling. I think it's because let's go through the second round. We have Maurice Jones-Drew goes at 12, then DeMarco Murray, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Lynch, Sproles, Steven Jackson, Trent Richardson, all the running backs went early in that second round. So, again, loving the first part of the drafts this year, the first 3 or 4 picks, the good wide, they got one of the Holy Trinity and the big-name wide receivers fall to him, a good spot to be this season.
Yeah, and Bradshaw's a nice little compliment. You know, he's the guy in New York. A lot of people think Wilson's going to work in, and it probably will be pretty balanced. But, you know, Bradshaw's certainly going to see his share of the work, and I think that's a good compliment there. And then he goes to the fourth round. He gets Stevie Johnson from Buffalo, which is interesting. I really like Steve Johnson.
That's the highest I've seen him take it, but I tell you what, I love the pick. I do, too.
As a matter of fact, you know, in an article I wrote, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, the handcuffs and hookups, I actually mentioned a Fitzgerald-Johnson hookup where essentially, you know, Fitzpatrick is, you know, meaningless in the hookup as far as drafting because you can essentially have your whole team before you would even pick up a Fitzpatrick. And this guy's capable of 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I really like that pick. I think Stevie Johnson's, you know, WR1 through and through, so that's a good pick.
Yeah, absolutely. So get him in the fourth round. Then in the fifth round, here's the hottest guy shooting up the draft board. This is a week ago, this pick would have seemed about two rounds too early. Today, it seems like he got a steal in the third pick of the fifth round, taking Matt Ryan. After that game he had Thursday, this guy's stock has gone through the roof.
Yeah, and this could be the coming out of Matty Ice this year. I don't know. I mean, they've been high on him for a couple of years. He's been pretty good. They've gotten to the playoffs, you know, but just, you know, he's just not quite doing it. But I tell you what, if this guy comes through, I mean, they could be dangerous.
Yeah, that offense, again, you don't want to put too much stock in a preseason game, although the second preseason game playing the better part of a half, they almost made it to halftime if they didn't make it all the way there. Offense was just a machine, and he looked like Tom Brady. He looked like Aaron Rodgers. He looked like Drew Brees, just pinpoint, wasn't missing, timing offense. Jones going deep, Roddy White underneath. That offense looked like a juggernaut, and he looks like he's ready to step into that role as an elite fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty good pick right there. And then we went to the sixth round. He went wide receiver again. Now, bear in mind, he had Roddy White and Steve Johnson. So I don't think DeSean Jackson, although, you know, maybe a bit of a reach in the sixth round when you're already got a pretty good core build up there, he could be a real nice, you know, solidifying block for him.
Oh, yeah, I think as a third receiver, and I think that's the key point, regardless of the round, I throw the round out in this one, as a third receiver, here's a guy with such high upside. There's a guy 2 years ago who was a low-end number one receiver, a solid top-end number two. To have him sitting as your number three behind those two studs, that's a fantastic wide receiver stable. I don't like DeSean Jackson, but in that role, he's perfect.
Oh, definitely. And if you're, you know, especially if you happen to be playing Philadelphia, like special teams and so forth, you know, DeSean Jackson with a punt returns and a kick return threat.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just added value right
there. If you're in a league that counts those yards, he's going to get two or three return touchdowns, going to have a ton of yardage, so his value only goes higher there. And then rounding it out in the seventh round, the ageless wonder. I hope he's got one more year in him. I love watching this guy play. Tony Gonzalez at tight end. There's a guy week after week. He's not going to put up those Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham numbers, but he's going to have five or six catches. He's going to find the end zone, and two or three times a year he's going to go completely off and have 9, 10, 11 catches and win you a few games throughout the season.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan stays as sharp as he is. Roddy White and Julio Jones are there taking the top off the defense. You know, Tony Gonzalez could have a real last hurrah this year, and it could be some pretty good stats.
Perfect fit. The one common thread in all these juggernaut offenses we're talking about are top-tier tight ends. If you're talking about New Orleans, you have Jimmy Graham. You're talking about New England, you have Gronkowski. And talking Green Bay, while he had a rough year last year, JerMichael Finley, another guy who can clear that middle. These tight ends thrive in these type of wide-open passing offenses.
Yeah, no doubt. So real quick with Bob Lunds, he's got McCoy Bradshaw at running backs, and he's got a wide receiving core right now of White, Stevie Johnson, and DeSean Jackson, tight end Tony Gonzalez, and Matt Ryan as quarterback, another solid squad.
Solid squad, high upside on that squad. I like that. It could be top end. There's a lot of potential there. Now I tried to do it earlier. Now we can move on to our buddy Ali Fontana. Here's the toughest pick probably in everybody's draft, that fourth one. Where do you go? Is it Calvin? Is it Chris? Is it Brady? Is it Breeze? Is it McFadden? Chooses Chris Johnson in that four hole, and I know you love that pick.
I love it. I really do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. The only person I would consider taking over Chris Johnson in that spot is Aaron Rodgers. And I know that's kind of a weird thing there, but I don't like taking quarterbacks early, but Aaron Rodgers is such a monster. But, no, I like Chris Johnson, and this last preseason game is just, you know, it's just strengthening my opinion. I think he's back. I think he's going to be strong, and I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Second round, here's a guy that scares you, Trent Richardson, dealing with that knee, had it cleaned out again. Here's a guy. It's a good pick because of the value, falling to that ninth pick of the second round earlier in mocks. And if you drafted way too early, this guy was going 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere right around that turn. Falling into the ninth, a good risk right there. A guy, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to own Trent Richardson. This guy, for all the success he had in college, never had a history of being healthy. Just going to get, I'll just say it, he's just going to get the hell beat out of him in Cleveland. There's just nothing else there. So just a guy I'm afraid of, even if he could get through the first part of the year and put up some numbers, I really don't envision him finishing the year.
I'm scared of Trent Richardson. If he wasn't injured, let's face it, Cleveland's got a pretty good O-line.
That's true. That's very true.
And, you know, if Whedon could get it going, if somebody could catch some passes, and he could stand back there. I could see Trent Richardson really having some value staying healthy. But like you said, he's never had that history of being healthy, and that's scary. So
I guess here's the question. The big name backs, there's one every year that comes out. Is he Adrian Peterson? That's a possibility. Or is he Mark Ingram, Beanie Wells? Name some more. Every year, these guys, Daniel Thomas, these guys don't work out. They come out. No, Daniel Thomas.
I know, but Pierre also.
Pierre, yeah, he's had a nice career. But these guys come out of college as the number one guy, and Adrian Peterson, the only one recently who was truly panned out. So at the ninth pick of the second round, pretty good value there because you're getting to the end of that tier, that second tier after the big three. You know, as we said, Bradshaw is probably the end of that tier, and he went four picks later, so the value definitely there. Here's a pick I love getting in the fourth pick of the third round as guys who took a quarterback early in the fourth round. We'll get to that. Be able to catch Matt Stafford with that fourth pick of the third round. Here's a guy who could this year push himself up into the top with the other big three.
Yeah, he's mentioned right with them, so he stays healthy. Yeah, I mean, look what he did last year, so, you know. And they've got certainly has the weapons. Basically, the only question mark on that Detroit offense is the running game. And it just seems like no one can stay healthy in that whole backfield or out of jail, whatever the case may be. But if Stafford stays healthy, they're still going to be dangerous. And that's, you know, third-round pick, that's a good pick.
Yeah, so head down to the fourth round, tight end Aaron Hernandez. Here's a guy I believe may supplant Gronkowski as a top tight end in that system. So, you know, that's sort of a coin flip there, good risk there. Daniel Thomas in the fifth round. Here's a name you haven't heard a lot. You know, Ali obviously believe in Reggie Bush not going to pan out. Daniel Thomas, he was the Doug Martin of last year. Does he pan out this year?
Yeah, I mean, and Reggie Bush was on the board when she took him, so that's she certainly thinks that Daniel Thomas is going to be the guy. So,
yeah. So interesting. That's a neat pick.
It is. There's certainly some risk reward there for sure. However, you know,
wait, Rick, stop.
Oh,
stop,
you don't tell me something happened.
Stop.
What?
Demaryius Thomas.
Oh,
Demaryius. That makes sense. All right, we were trying not to be insulting about.
Yeah. Hey, Allie, we apologize. Demaryius Thomas, I love that.
That's
pick.
A great pick. Fourth
I am
pick
high
of the
on
fifth,
Demaryius Thomas.
Fourth pick of the first round.
Yes.
Fifth round. Question there, and it's been the question all offseason. Is it him? Is it Eric Decker? Or is it both? For a lot of years, Harrison and Wayne, it was both. They were 1A and 1B. So
and you're getting Demaryius Thomas, fourth pick in the fifth round. That's awesome.
What I love about him. Thomas over Decker, a lot of the in vogue thing is to be higher on Decker. What I like about Thomas is his size, his ability to go across the middle. You saw him just own Ike Taylor in that playoff game with a terrible quarterback throwing to him with that inside slant with his body position. Here's a guy I really believe I don't even think it's that close between him and Decker, my personal opinion. I love Demaryius Thomas as the number one wide receiver in Denver this year.
I do too, and I've taken him in some drafts this year already, and the opportunity arises, I'll take him again. That's for sure. I love that pick.
So move on. Grabs another wide receiver in Pierre Garçon. A guy, I tell you what, in the offseason leading up to this point, I wasn't real high on. Seems to be supplanting Santana Moss, putting himself firmly as the number one wide receiver in Washington. Could be interesting. You have concerns about the rookie quarterback, but he's sort of the Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona situation. There's going to be a wide receiver. Somebody's going to get their catches. So as
I'm still sticking with Moss in that offense, I think.
I hate that name.
I hate it. I know. But I'm just – right now it's preseason. But I think when things get going, I've said it on the fantasy roundtable. I still think that Moss is going to be the leading receiver for the Redskins. I'm not convinced Garçon's going to be that guy. And, you know, either way, Moss is going to kill you. You're either going to take him and think you're going to get big numbers and he won't, or you'll pass him up and then he'll kill you.
Well, I hate him and I'll have no parts of him in any way.
I like the next pick.
So, yeah, round it out. Here's another guy shooting up, so getting him a good value in the seventh round as he's starting to separate himself, if not skill-wise, health-wise to this point. Kevin Smith in the seventh round. Great pickup right there. Here's a guy for now while he's healthy. He's the only game in town.
You betcha. And that's, like you said, he's moving up in the depth chart and separating himself, let's put it that way. And that's doggone good. I mean, when you pair him with Chris Johnson and Richardson, you know, for that stable, that's not bad.
Having Kevin Smith in a flex spot, a perfect place for him, could win you a lot of games. So let's move on. We're running short on time. We'll try and get through these a little bit quicker. You were on their show recently, the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day. Lets it all shake out, comes to five, and I think the obvious pick there, unless you said you'd take Aaron Rodgers, but I like the Calvin Johnson pick, seems to be right where his ADP is, right around five.
Oh, that's a great pick. There's no doubt about that. You can't say anything bad about that, that's for sure.
Yeah, then come around the second round, there's Steven Jackson. Here's a guy just sneaking under the radar, a guy. Unfortunately, we seem to be picking at the end of all these drafts, and I just don't think the value's there at the beginning of the second round, but getting on later in the second round. Yeah, I love having Fisher in St. Louis. Anybody who's ever run for him has been a success. I think we could see a resurgence in Steven Jackson's career this year. I love him this season.
Yeah, and it's not like it really declined. He had a pretty decent year last year, he's been staying healthy.
Yeah, which is rare for him.
Very hard worker, and he's always in shape, and that's a good pick. And then the third round, he goes Doug Martin. I know he's convinced that Martin is taking care of business in Tampa. And this looks even better with Blunt's injury.
Yeah, well, I'm still not big on Martin, and it's not based upon, you know, we've talked about this. I don't know how many episodes you guys have had to suffer through me saying this. It's not based on anything other than perception. It's just there's this guy every year. There was Daniel Thomas. There was Beanie Wells. There was Ryan Williams. So rarely do these guys pan out. I just don't like he has been anointed by all fantasy owners, all fantasy experts months ago as the big breakout star, is completely taking that job over. Look, the injury to LeGarrette Blount changes everything. It doesn't appear to be too serious, and I still honestly believe this shakes out at worst a 50-50 split if LeGarrette Blount isn't still the feature back in Tampa Bay at the end of the season.
I agree. And then we'll move on to the fourth round. And here you go. You know, we talked about Harrison and Wayne before. Now we got Decker and Thomas in Denver with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, so Decker goes about, what, seven picks ahead of Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
So they're close, and that's right. I'd flip it. I'd have it the other way, but hard. Who knows? You're not going to argue with that. I think if Peyton Manning is still Peyton Manning, they're Wayne Harrison. I think you're a winner either way. So then, you know, here's a risk, but to get him in the fifth round could be huge value, could be zero. I think Antonio Gates is on the downside of it, but I think in that spot, probably a good pickup.
Yeah, and let's face it, Rivers is going to be thrown for yards, and I think even more with Jackson out of there. Gates had those foot issues. Hopefully those are behind him, at least, you know, till he can get out in that field and stay healthy.
And that's what scares me about Antonio Gates, though. A big guy like that, a basketball player by trade, a guy his size with his athleticism, when those guys start having foot troubles, I use Greg Oden and Hakima and Greg Oden to use in basketball terms as an example. Once they start having those foot injuries, they never seem – Yao Ming is the other one I was thinking of. Again, foot issues, never able to put it back together, never truly healthy again after that.
Right. But, you know, I like that Gates pick right there in the fifth round. Could be some really big upside there.
Absolutely.
Reggie Wayne coming in the sixth.
There's a guy I'm targeting. You're getting him for nothing, you know.
And I tell you what, Luck looks good.
Yeah, he does. One preseason game, he just looked amazing. You know, Luck, and I haven't been real high on either of these rookies, but he looked good. Reggie Wayne's been there a long time, seems to be playing with renewed purpose, and still he's still Reggie Wayne. And here's a guy you were drafting in the late first, early second round, as early as 2 years ago, getting down in the sixth round. Here's a guy I've been targeting myself.
Yeah, and the seventh pick I absolutely loved, Ryan Williams. He's emerging as the man in Arizona. And I think the knee problems are behind him. I think he's in for a good year.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's going to be the health issues you're going to have to worry about. If he can stay healthy, I think Beanie Wells is done. It's over. The Beanie Wells experience is finally over. So if Ryan Williams can stay healthy, it's going to be his job. Maybe lose a few carries to the Rod Stevens-Howling. But if he stays healthy, this guy could line himself up for a big year. So So let's jump next to Adam Ronis, Roto Experts. We got to keep moving here. Now here's where it gets hairy for everybody, that sixth pick. Here's a guy, I wouldn't have agreed with this pick 2 weeks ago, and I know I'm letting one preseason game get in my head, and I'm trying to forget all the injury issues, but Darren McFadden at number six, talk about high risk, high reward. This is a guy who you may not have all year, or it's a guy who is going to produce better than the Trinity, I believe. If healthy, I believe he ends as the number one fantasy player this
year.
Well,
and that's the thing, though. You say you don't like to have the fantasy game get in your head, or fantasy game, preseason game get in your head, but I tell you what, you watch him, and it's like, my God.
It's unbelievable.
I can't.
What the man can do.
And you're sitting there at the, what, sixth pick?
Yeah.
You can't let him go.
No, I wouldn't think.
I mean, that's you just almost have to take him. And then the next pick in the second round, I know Jim Day was probably pounding his head against the table. Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. It's fell to the middle of the second round anyhow. He didn't go late first or at the turn, but I'm not a big on Gronkowski. I can't take him that early.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are, so, you know, and that's the thing. Anyway, then we move on to A.J. Green in the third round, which
again,
is good.
We're
obviously not going to get through all these teams,
no, so,
but we're running out of time, but
instead
I like A.J. Green.
Yeah, Steve Smith falling to the fourth after that year he had last year. Great value there. Reggie Bush, here's a guy, we won't break down them all, but Reggie Bush, here's a guy that's interesting, a disappointment for how many years, really busted out last year. Who are you going to get this year? Are you going to get that 100 yards a game, or is he going to be the Reggie Bush of old?
Well, and that's the one concern in his lineup that I do. You've already taken that risk factor with Darren McFadden. Now you're going with Reggie Bush as your RB2. Basically, a lot of the same risk right there. He's had the 1 year, granted, but I'll tell you what, that's all he's had. And both these guys go down, you're in trouble.
Yeah, so then get some depth in the sixth round with Jonathan Stewart. I want no part of that Carolina mess. I've just been skipping these guys completely. And I think the best value I've seen for this team, catching Tony Romo in the seventh round. I'm worried about the teams around him. I'm worried about the offensive line. But here's a guy who just flat puts up fantasy numbers anyhow. He doesn't necessarily I wouldn't start my favorite team, but for my fantasy team, here's a guy who continues to put up numbers.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, he's going to throw them up there. If that offensive line can just keep him from getting bashed into the ground.
All right, so let's move on, try and squeeze as much of this in as we can. Tony Cincotta, Fantasy Pros 911. Tom Brady in the first, seventh pick of the first. Hard to argue with that. Here's the first one I find interesting there. Wes Welker, this is a PPR league, going with the sixth pick of the second round, ahead of guys like Roddy White, Larry Fitzgerald, Greg Jennings, Julio Jones. Interesting there.
And not inconspicuous in the fact it was a hookup, too.
Yeah, I wonder if that had anything to do with it. I'm not sure I draft him ahead of that list of guys I just gave you, even in a PPR format.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been that speculation out there. We've covered it, and other people have too, that maybe Welker's a little bit in the doghouse, you know, for opening his mouth with the contract issue.
You worry about that with Belichick and Kraft. Those guys are like that. They'll say, we'll win without you. Watch us.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit of risk, but in PPR, I'm certainly not going to die over it because he's going to get his catches. There's no doubt about that.
Hakeem Nicks, preseason rankings before that injury, a low first round, early second round guy, catching him in the middle of the third round, fantastic value. And then the guy, the great enigma this year at the sixth pick of the fourth round, Michael Turner, he's going to win you. I think this guy's going to win you a league or lose you a league this year.
Well, yeah, and I mean, but you're in the fourth round. And you need a running back. I mean, let's face it, we covered this before as well. I mean, the guy scores touchdowns. You know, he's good for 10 touchdowns basically every year if you look over the last few years, and everybody's saying, well, he's not going to get to work.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get plenty of it.
Well, and here's what I've been thinking. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. When they came out and said this, it was in May, if it wasn't April when they started talking about this, he was going to have a reduced role. We automatically jumped to Jaquizz Rodgers is going to get half the carries, or Snelling, or he's just losing carries. perhaps a reduced role is just the fact that this team, with the receivers and the quarterback they have, may throw the ball 40, 45 times a game, and they're just he won't need 30 carries a game like he used to get. He'll get 18 or 20 touches because that's what the offense will be. Interesting to note, keep an eye on, had in one half of play, three catches in the first half of that preseason game on Thursday. There's been years I don't think he's had three catches, so you wonder if that's something they're working into the offense.
And if that is, that's a great pick.
New game.
It would really be nice to – I mean, why they don't use him, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people saying, well, Jaquizz Rodgers would be, you know, third down back. Well, why? If Michael Turner can catch, he's bigger.
Yeah.
And he can score.
Absolutely. So keep moving. Peyton Hillis in the fifth round. Interesting. That's maybe higher than I've seen him normally go. So somebody – we have Jamal Charles not going to let us get that safety net there. Jermichael Finley in the sixth, sort of a high risk, high reward. And Michael Floyd in the seventh. I worry about. We say Larry Fitzgerald could put up his numbers. I fear this guy could be a victim of that terrible quarterback situation in Arizona.
Yeah, he could be. There's no doubt because you know Fitzgerald's going to get the bulk of the work there, and he's just going to be lost in it, I believe.
All right, so then we'll move on. We have Mike Rathburn of the Daily Joust. Here's a guy moving up steadily on my draft sheet and on everybody's, basically. Matt Forte going with the eighth pick. Here's a guy who was a high to mid-second rounder now going in the eighth pick. Seems to be about average from what I've seen the last week or two.
Oh, yeah, especially in the PPR format. That's a great value. I like Matt Forte. He's happy. It looks like the offense is pretty well stacked, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for good stuff out of him.
Yeah, so they will move on. Keeping in the PPR theme of this team, Darren Sproles with the fifth pick of the second round.
Well, it has to be PPR to get Sproles that high. That's
yeah,
no question.
Absolutely. You know, I worry about Sproles. I worry about, since we talked about all that depth in New Orleans, all that running back depth. It makes me a little nervous, but in a PPR format, hard to argue. Cam Newton, eighth pick of the third round. That's where I'm comfortable seeing Cam Newton go, not first round, early second, where he was, if you bought a draft magazine that was written in April, that's where you've seen him. So I'm happy to see him starting to drop to where he should be in these types of leagues.
Oh, definitely. I think he'll be good there. Then Percy Harvin in the fourth. I know you're probably not liking it as much as I am. I think he's just an amazing talent. Minnesota's got problems, but look last year. I mean, they were horrible last year, and he still put up numbers. They were using him rushing. And let's face it, Peterson may not be all the way back. They could be doing some of the same stuff again.
He's just one of those headache guys I try to avoid, and I get tongue-in-cheek there because with the migraine issue, he's going to be questionable. It's 50-50 every week. You're just not going to know with that guy. That's why I avoid him. And I think one of the main questions that everybody has, where does Ryan Matthews fall in this draft? The eighth pick of the fifth round, I think, could end up being a steal there. There'd be a lot of talk if somebody would still take him in the second, third round. I heard some guys in the symposium today saying mid-second would be where they'd be comfortable taking him. Catch him with the eighth pick of the fifth round, I think this is something. I know you don't like Ryan Matthews, but catch him there, that could be a steal.
Oh, yeah, I agree with Mike on this one. I like him in the fifth round, to be honest with you. I'd never take him in the second, but in the fifth, you know, if he misses five games this year, okay, he's a fifth round pick. It's not that bad, but I'll tell you what, if he comes back from that clavicle injury and he plays 14 games, look out. That's a steal.
Absolutely. Let's jump over. That gets us through five rounds. Let's jump over to our boy Corey Parsons, team executive of SiriusXM Fantasy Sports. Hey, here's a good steal. Here's a guy you see going in the top three, rarely in the top three sometimes, a lot of times in the 4 or 5 hole. Aaron Rodgers falls to 9, a big-time steal right there. You can't pass him up.
Oh, definitely. And as a matter of fact, he actually left a comment on the board when we were drafting. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, a 9th pick, are you kidding me? So, I mean, that's an obvious pick, I think.
Yeah, no question about it. Second round, Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, here's a guy fell way off the map when he got the DUI starting to creep back up, as everybody believes his case will not be settled during the season. It'll be in fall into the offseason before that's taken care of. Believe he does.
How convenient.
Yeah, isn't it? So, and if he doesn't catch a suspension, there's a guy who was talked about as a late first round, early second round back, so he seems to be getting back to that value. Here's a guy I'm surprised keeps falling as high as we get on rookies who have breakout years. He falls again to the 9th pick of the third round, Victor Cruz. I'm surprised to see him down that far. I like him there.
Yeah, and I mean, we had the conversation with Ali Fontana on our program. We actually went over wide receivers. I have him ranked fourth on my list of wide receivers. I love Victor Cruz, and I think where Corey got him is a steal.
Absolutely. Fourth round, Mike Wallace, we said at the top of the show, Mike Wallace looking like he's going to come back. I think he's going to have a bit of a learning curve, but to catch him as a number two, a guy was a clear number one. I like that. Miles Austin, here's a guy I've drafted a couple of times. I think I'm starting to avoid a guy with muscle issues, be it a groin, be it a hamstring, be it this or that. Now it's continuing already. I fear for him this season.
Yeah, definitely. We were actually listening to SiriusXM this morning. They were talking about him. They actually said that he is like one of the tightest athletes they've ever seen. And he just doesn't seem to get loose, and he's just a flex away from pulling something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's jump over. We only have about 10 minutes left. To your favorite team, Flieger and Briggs Asylum Fantasy Football. Yeah, it's some tough decisions here, but looking at Drew Brees, we go with Drew Brees in the first round. Not like us to take a quarterback in the first round, but I think at the 10th pick of the first round, I think by far the best value there. Steady points, knowing that we weren't going to get that stable of stud running backs that the guys at the beginning of the draft got. I think a nice, safe, stable 40 points a game, 30 to 40 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly went with what we thought was the best value at that pick, so we had to go with Brees.
Jamal Charles in the second round, third pick of the second round. Here's a guy we're high on. We're going to sink or swim on Jamal Charles this year. Basically, however his season goes, is going to determine how much longer you listen to this show.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming back, and I like that pick. Yeah, I'm pushed for it a little more than Rick did. As you've listened to the show, you know he's...
I'm souring on him.
Yeah, he's souring on him, but I keep giving
him... But DeMarco Murray goes ahead. Adrian Peterson goes ahead. I think with the list of names afterwards, maybe Steven Jackson safer, maybe Trent Richardson. I don't want to call him safer. But I think upside, when you got a guy like Brees, you can start to play the upside game, and I love the Jamal Charles pick. Well, of course I love it. We made it. So third round, here's a guy I love falling to the 10th pick of the third round. You know, maybe this is the Patrick Johnson effect because he told us he almost tried to give us him above Megatron. But to catch Brandon Marshall, I know you are, Rick. We are so high on Brandon Marshall. And to get him that far into the third round, I was thrilled.
Oh, I loved it. I thought that was just phenomenal value.
Moving on, the next pick, you want to talk about high risk, high reward. This one I may be regretting a little bit. I'd take some bashing on this. If you want to hit us up, at Asylum Football on Twitter, talked you into Dez Bryant. Third pick of the fourth round. I believed all offseason was set up for a breakout year, but this Cowboys team in general is starting to make me nervous.
Yeah, I was basically pushed into Dez Bryant. I'm nothing personally against Dez Bryant, I guess, but you know, I don't really like the head on his shoulders, and I'm not liking what Dallas' offense is looking like. But we got Dez Bryant, so the reward's there.
So then comes scrambling to pick up a second receiver since we went back-to-back wide receivers there. Grab Willis McGahee, a guy people aren't high on. I am. I'm shoving all in on Peyton Manning, rising everyone there. I loved what McGahee did last year. While I understand they're not going to run the ball as much, he's a guy who can catch the ball a little bit. I like McGahee. I'll go to bat with him as my 2/3.
Yeah, but look, you go back to some of those offenses with Indy, and of course, you know, I'm not throwing him in there with the edge thing. But even when Adai was healthy, he put out some pretty good numbers.
Yeah,
catching some passes and opening up the running lanes.
Yeah.
And McGahee, I like that pick.
Yeah. So Ben Jarvis, Green Isles, here's another guy we're going to sink or swim on because we end up with him on every squad we put together. Look, he's Cedric Benson to me. Nobody's high on him, and because he's not flashy, but the guy doesn't fumble. He's never fumbled. He's Cedric Benson, 18, 20, 22 carries, 102 yards and a touchdown. I will take that all day as my number two, or especially in this case, my number three fantasy back.
Yeah, look, he's a number three back. He's an RB3. He's a starter. And what is that? That's the fifth round?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, sixth round, actually.
Sixth round.
Rounded it out with Kenny Britt, just took a risk there. We'll see what happens. Looking like only a 1-3 game suspension, according to Adam Schefter. If that's true and he can stay healthy, I like that pick. So we really got to move now. Our boy Dennis Farrell of the Fantasy Sideline Show, he did what I don't like. I'm waving my finger at him right now. Jimmy Graham with the 11th pick, going to put some solid production. I just don't like those tight ends in the first round.
No, and we'll probably argue till we're blue in the face with guys like him and Jim Day, but I'm not going to take him in the first round, that's for sure.
High risk, high reward, Adrian Peterson, second pick of the second round. Earliest I've seen him go, make you a hero or a goat there. I'm not sure I'd go quite that high on him, but hard to argue when you see the name Adrian Peterson. Read it off, Jordy Nelson, Brandon Lloyd, Vincent Jackson, Donald Brown, Peyton Manning. Getting Peyton Manning with the 11th pick of the seventh round, I love. Brandon Lloyd, still not a guy I'm real high on, but I'm alone on an island with that.
Yeah, upgrade over Deion Branch, but certainly not the talent of Randy Moss. So I think you're going to be in between, probably closer to Branch numbers than Moss numbers, but he's an upgrade. And
that's
so,
what I wonder. Although the reports coming out of camp, he's catching everything thrown his way. He may find that Moss role. If he does, it's a steal of everybody's draft still, even though he's going higher than I have him ranked. Catching this guy averaging that fourth round, still a steal if he fills that Moss role. I'm just not sure I see it. So let's jump to the 12th team finally. We got about 4 minutes left. We should be able to squeeze it in. Joe Dolan, fantasy guru. Rolled the dice on Maurice Jones-Drew in the first round. I'll tell you what, on driving to Atlantic City here, we talked about this a lot, a guy I wanted no parts of. We will play you next week at some point whenever I get everything all cut up. Some different opinions from guys more in the know than us of if Maurice Jones-Drew, Dave Richard says he will be back by week one. I worry about the running back holdouts. That question was brought up to the panel, and they seem to believe Maurice Jones-Drew would be the one guy who could get past it.
Yeah. And like you said,
still don't think
know
I have,
more than we are.
Well, they certainly
I'm
do, but I don't know that I'd have the guts to do that myself.
Right.
Jump down to DeMarco Murray. You go ahead. It's DeMarco Murray.
It's DeMarco Murray, the official running back of the Asylum.
I don't have the soundboard up. We're on the road.
And I like that pick. I mean, you risk yourself with Maurice Jones-Drew. But DeMarco Murray, is he a risk? I don't know. He's coming off of a broken ankle. Broken bones aren't ligaments and everything. He should be 100%.
That's true. I just worry about him running behind that terrible offensive line there in Dallas this year. But clearly that's right where he belongs, in late first, early second round. If I'd have told you a year ago you could have got Andre Johnson with the 12th pick of the third round, you'd have called me a fool.
Yeah, well, you are a fool. But
well, good
that's
point.
What happened, and that was a great pick, I think. The reward, we all know what that is. The risk, we all know what that is. But 12th pick in the third round, I think it's great.
Yeah, love it. Turns right back around on the turn, gets Marcus Colston. So if Andre Johnson is healthy, to have Andre Johnson and Marcus Colston is a solid 1-2 punch at wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
And then follows that up again. Dwayne Bowe signs his deal today. He's able to catch him in the 12th pick of the fifth round.
I love
as
that
of
pick.
Next week. You're not going to be able to get him there. So.
I love that pick.
Phillip Rivers, much maligned Phillip Rivers. Here's a guy I disagree with most of the experts out there. Here's a guy we talk about his awful year last year, and I know he threw a lot of interceptions. He still threw for over 4,600 yards.
But see, that's the thing. Yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions, but that's all he did different from what he normally does.
That's true.
And he's going to be 4,800. He's going to be 4,800 yards this year, and probably 28 touchdowns. Yeah. And he cut 14, 15 interceptions. That's Phillip Rivers.
Absolutely. Wraps it up with Jason Witten, a guy who definitely scary with that spleen injury. You don't know how serious it's going to be if he has surgery. That's something you don't want to mess with. 12th pick of the seventh round, definitely worth the risk. Here's a guy who's going to catch the ball if he finds the field.
Oh, yeah. This guy could lead in receptions and tight ends if he's healthy.
Yeah, no question about it. So there it is, through seven rounds, the executive experts draft. Hard to put a grade on it. All these teams are small. It's serious business out there, Rick.
Yes, indeed. And we got to get moving because Gertrude's yelling
Gertrude
at us.
Gertrude is wrapping us up. So, hey, great show again, deep in the bowels of the.
And we're going back here just in that, if we wrap this thing up, and we'll be back with more stuff in the next few shows. We'll cover it.
Absolutely. We'll get it cut up. We'll get you more and more information, talk to more and more people from the Fan Fest in Atlantic City. If you can make it out here, if you're listening to this live, come out, check it out. You don't want to miss this. We will be back Tuesday for the Blitz. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.
Worked all week, cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off 68. fired up and let them horses sing. A little tan leg Georgia dream, but she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party out of town about.
Oh, easily. Yeah, because we started breaking out everything.
Yeah, you started pointing that. I was thinking, what? Is it a phone call or what? No, I wasn't. I just couldn't see anything. I didn't know if it was a phone call.
Oh,
coming
no,
in.
I was just trying to say we're down to 18.
Yeah. I thought you wanted me to shut up because there was a phone call coming in. Then you was going like that, you know.